You got it. The guy at the other end of this.
I just said all this in 60 seconds.
Did you say you were a loser? Did you say you were a loser?
I thought that was fucking implied at this point.
Love the movies. Do you miss going to the video store, acid wash jeans, and MTV with music? I know we do. Welcome to Mike and Anthony's Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host, Anthony.
Get on your knees and tell me you love me.
I knew it. I knew that's what's going to happen. Bring our take on a classic movie every Monday from the 80s, 90s, and beyond, during which we'll play the game and open up a six-pack of favorite scenes. We also point out a couple of generic scenes as well, sometimes even more.
There are some in this one.
At the end of the show, we will rate the movie 124 cans. One can is a brick in the face. 24, or actually, one can is growing up in Kevin McAllister's family. 24 cans is something Anthony said to me a couple days ago that he needs to find. Emancipation.
Yeah. I don't know. I think one can might be the fifth brick to the face.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first one, I think the first one left the mark. Sucked.
You should be dead.
But before we get to all that, we want to let you know we want to do movies suggested by our listeners, and there's four ways to do this. One is join the Patreon. If you suggest it there, we'll just do it. We'll get to it. If you want us to do a movie right away, you can do a fast pass and send us $25 to our Venmo or PayPal, which is at Soda Pop Culture Club. Plus, we have a third way for you to suggest movie, because not only do we have a Patreon, we also have a website, sodapopcultureclub.com, where you can buy some merch and all that stuff. But there's also a movie suggestion portal there, which we get suggestions through. But that's the one where it's like, if we get to it and we like it, that's what we're going
to
do.
Anthony
has a fourth way that he wants to tell you about.
You want to break the fourth wall?
Yes.
Leave a review for us, and in that review, also leave a request.
So what he's saying, if you go to Apple Podcasts, you do a review, and when it has you put in the comments, say you hate us very much, but you want us to do this movie, we'll do that movie. That's what he's... Or you love us, we'll take both.
You love us very much, and you want us to do you. Whatever you want to leave, I mean, just be open and honest about it.
But all usual rules apply. We don't generally do porn or anything that weird. All right. In Faces of Death.
And don't be asking weird shit if you're underage either. Can we point that out?
Yes, that's true. I had a couple more things. Don't forget to share the show with your friends. Check out our Instagram, at Mike and Anthony, where we've been posting memorials lately, honestly. I haven't put the movies up because there's been some iconic figures that have passed away.
Yeah.
And I've been honoring them there. This week specifically, I think there's like two of them. There was what's her name? Did the Fame, I'm Gonna Live Forever song, or Flashdance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so her, and then Christine McVie just a couple days ago, Fleetwood Mac. So it's kind of a downer if you go there.
It's been a year, man.
But generally, we try to post clever memes about the movies we discussed. And finally, we need you to go to that Apple Podcast. Just like Anthony said, hit us up for that review. 5-star if you really like us in that comment. And don't forget to put the movie you want us to do in that comment. Because, well, that helps us out anyways. It helps the show grow when you go there and do that. So, Anthony, what do you got to say for yourself?
Oh.
You want me to hit the trailer?
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say about myself? I got nothing.
All right, here we go. Here's the trailer.
Play it.
Hiya, pal.
Deck the halls with Marv and Harry.
Yes.
Make their Christmas not so merry. Give them bricks and give them riches. One for Christmas in the trenches. Toss some paint cans down to greet them. Send the toolbox down to meet them. Serve the nails for Christmas dinner. Kevin is declared the winner.
May I do the thinking, please?
Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
You wearing aftershave?
That's kerosene.
Now why would anybody soak a rope in kerosene?
Merry Christmas. Christmas.
Boom shakalaka. So I got to say, I love the beginning, Deck the Halls with Marvin Harry, because...
Yes.
Did you see the Homer Simpson doll I got?
No, I did not.
a couple weeks ago, I was at an antique store.
Of course you were.
This is not the big antique mall that I always go to.
And I just want to let everybody know he's been barred from them.
I have.
Want to throw that out there? Just go on.
Too many damn beer signs. This is one my wife chose to go to. She wanted to go.
Oh, so okay. You got a hall pass.
I got a hall pass. So as soon as we walk in, right in the center, as soon as you walk in, there's this Homer Simpson singing Santa doll.
Oh, shit.
Boom, done. But he sings Deck the Halls with Buddy Holly. Love it.
Oh, that's nice.
It's awesome. So, yeah.
That's nice. That's cool. But I will say, I'm not the most Christmassy person in the world. And I would have to say that the one thing that I don't like is when my wife buys all those little things that sing when you walk by them, or, you know what I mean? Like, all that shit goes off when you walk through a house.
It goes off when you walk, like, it's like a sensor. Like
she has a thing that for Halloween, you put on the toilet and you open the toilet and a toilet screams, or you walk by
Halloween,
and it starts singing, you know, rocking around the, and it starts wiggling. That shit.
Oh no, dude.
It's like Billy Bass all over the fucking house, and I don't fucking need it.
We got a dancing gingerbread man. Sings Wish You a Merry Christmas. Yeah, we've got that shit.
Oh, fuck that shit. Okay.
See, anyway. Now, and this thing, I get banned from the fucking antique mall because they design too many beer signs. And yet,
yes, you do.
Every fucking weekend, the wife comes home with like a mortgage payment worth of Christmas decorations.
With that bullshit that I'm talking about, little wiggling things that sting at you. We don't need that.
Here's my thing. This has been my argument. I was like, the shit I get, it stays up all year round. It also doesn't, it holds value.
Time value. Yeah, right. You get more time out of it.
And all like your shit does is make me have to get out the vacuum for all the glitter every other day.
And I have to put it away.
And put it away and get it out.
Yes. All right, you have some numbers for us. You have some shit you want to say.
I got some shit. Let's break it down by the numbers. Directed by Chris Columbus and starring Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern, Catherine O'Hara, John Hurt, Tim Curry, and Rob Schneider, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, was released on November 15th, 1992, taking in $359 million at the box office against a $28 million budget. It scores 6.8 out of 10 on IMDb and a surprisingly 35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What's surprising about that?
I think that's low.
You think it is?
I do.
Oh, wow. Okay. I think we have a different take on this movie.
I'm sure we do. We usually do.
Okay. Yeah, those are some surprising numbers. I'm just going to say I am very shocked at how much money that did. I did not realize.
Oh, I'm not at all. Are you kidding me?
All right.
After the success of the first one?
Yeah. We forgot to do the game.
We didn't forget.
I just put it in after the numbers. I'm dumbass. Usually I do it before. Okay, are we ready?
Let's go. Yeah, here's the game. He's going to do three reviews. Two are real, one's fake. I got to point out the fake and go.
He is not good at explaining anything. Folks, I just want to let you know, here's what the game is. The game is I'm going to read you three reviews. Two of them are real. One of them is fake. And all you have to do to be a winner, all you have to do is guess which one is the fake one. And guess who's mostly a loser? You got it. The guy at the other end of this.
I just said all this in 60
seconds.
Did you
say you were a loser? Did you say you were a loser?
I thought that was fucking implied at this point.
Right. Okay. Are you ready for this?
No.
All right. Well, here we go. First review. Ed Traxler of the LA Times. Watching this movie made me wish I had just stayed home for Christmas, much like the McAllisters should have done. Chris Hicks, Deseret News. Home Alone 2 is such a retread of Home Alone, one wonders why they bothered. Oh, silly me, for the money, of course. Jason Morgan, filmcritic.com. Made solely to sell talk boys, and let's not forget about the pink talk girls to kids.
Okay, here's a problem I have.
Yes.
All three of those sound real.
I love it. That's what I try to do, folks. That's where I'm at.
They all sound real.
Yes, they do.
People were harsh, man.
Hey, I didn't, you know what? Obviously I didn't create this point of view.
Right.
Mine just is in there with a few others.
I'm going to go the third one.
And why is that?
I just feel like you would have honed in on the talk boy.
Okay, okay. What if I told you you were wrong? What would your second choice be?
I would assume I was wrong because I usually am.
Like I said, ladies and gentlemen, he's a loser.
Second one.
And you're wrong twice.
Yeah.
He's a loser, which means Ed Traxler, the chief of police in The Terminator, fooled him again.
Wow.
You know, like, it's not getting fun anymore. It's never been fun without, you know,
it's never challenge. Been fun.
Yeah. You know, it's like walking. We can just do it, most of us, and it's easy. So
it is.
Well, it's easy to walk for
you don't
most
do
of
it.
Us.
Shut up.
Whatever. I said most of it because I know there's some people that's a challenge for, and I don't want to slight them. So anyways, yeah, the talk boy. I didn't think that was a good review. That's why I picked it, because I thought you would think I'd hone in on that. Because I'm that good. I just know you. I'm in your head. Oh,
no,
speaking of in your head.
No, you're not. Yeah.
Well, not in your head, in somebody else's head. This is off the side. This is a side thing. But when I went to Anthony's house for Thanksgiving, I hosted a trivia thing, right?
You did.
I did. And here's the funny part I want to tell you. We just did trivia here Wednesday night. I stole that guy's trivia format, but I made up my own questions. But when he got to the final question, he said, put these events in the following order. And the first two he said were the Challenger explosion and the Chernobyl meltdown were the first two things he said. And remember, when I did it with you, those are two of the things that were on my final question. We about blew our minds. I just thought that was interesting. I was in his head is what I was going to say. I was in his head, not yours.
No, you realize, okay?
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
I could count on my fingers and toes how many drinks I'd had.
So you don't remember the question?
I remember the Challenger now that you said that.
Yeah, but my point is that I predicted his game this week almost down to one missing one event. I put Super Mario Brothers in there, and he put the Exxon Valdez, which is like 3 years later. So I just thought that was interesting.
I'm going to tell you right now, we were still reading your questions afterwards. Like, he has stupid questions.
You're just mad because you didn't win. You know, when people lose, this is how they get.
No.
He's lost twice today already.
I am never mad for losing at any game that you created.
Oh.
Because
really?
I feel just as successful winning a game you made as I do walking.
We should create a game called Be a Good Podcaster. Would you lose that one?
I mean, I would be following in your footsteps.
Oh, all right. Are you ready for this?
No.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just going to throw it out there right away. I have my first note. You may even
just
see it.
Go.
So I love a good sequel. I love sequels to movies. I'm not a person who hates on sequels and thinks that the first one is always the best and every sequel is bad. But this one, I think this was, like, to me, the ultimate lazy sequel. They basically said, let's see, how can we make the first movie but just a little bit different and play off every gag we did in the first movie? That's kind of how this started off with me.
It did, but they did it well.
Oh, gotcha.
I think they did it well.
I'm so unoriginal, but in a good way. It's like, whatever, fuck you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is from an asshole that hates It's a Wonderful Life, and he's going to complain about unoriginality.
Well,
I can't.
He want me to do my, what's his name? Was that Gary Cooper? I forget his name.
Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah. I can do voices.
Mm-hmm. Do it.
I'm not gonna talk
dirty to Mary, and you're Jimmy Stewart.
I'll talk nerdy to you like Kermit the Frog.
Christ.
Bend over. Let me see that brown eye. Do you think Kermit ever said that?
Well, it's in my head now, so I don't. You fucking did now.
All right, everybody listening to this podcast.
Let's talk about your shitty review of this movie. Come on.
I will. you know, it opens up just like the old one. We're with the family. We're doing all that stuff. I do want to remodel the house. I just want to say, we were my wife was watching with me. We're looking at the house. Like, it's a nice big house. It's a little big, but when you go in, right when they take you inside, you see that wallpaper. And
that
it's
fucking
like,
wallpaper. Yeah, I bitch about that every time. I just bitched about it when it was on TV like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, God, the wall. And no, not even that. And the hotel at the end, when they get that fucking suite that's like a fucking wing of a mansion.
Wallpaper. Yeah, I have that. Yeah, wallpaper. Jesus. Well, there was a wallpaper thing at one point. And even now, it's making a kickback. But what they do is they put it as an accent wall. They don't do every wall.
No wallpaper. Although
I have seen on some of those remake shows, they'll get the busiest fucking wallpaper and think it's so avant-garde. I'm like, yeah, you won't think that's avant-garde in 20 years. You'll think it's too busy and you'd hard to take a shit in that bathroom.
Do not wallpaper.
Yes, not busy anyways. If it's very minimalist, I could see that, maybe. A minimalist, you know.
There is a reason society has rejected it.
Many times over. Yeah. I mean, although there was a time when instead of painting your walls, they would just put another thing of wallpaper over, right?
Yeah.
So, and then when you go to scrape it, you see the like archaeological dig of layers.
Yep.
That's like fucking A. Oh, this used to be a brown wall.
This is like how you find out how old that house is. Count the layers of wallpaper.
That's probably 50, 60. We had a 100-year-old house and there were a lot of wallpaper in the kitchen. I can just say that.
I just
just gonna say that.
God help me.
Now that
I don't know if I ever told you the first house I bought.
Yeah.
These people had in the kitchen this big giant wallpaper border all around the top of the kitchen of ducks.
Ooh.
Like hunting ducks.
Oh yeah, the country theme motif shit bullshit. Yes. You gotta avoid those houses. Yeah, because then you gotta get up there and scrape that thing. Unless they put it on there cheaply. I've had houses where you go in and you can just rip it down, but not all
you
of
know
them.
What they need to, here's what they should do. Fathead needs to make
borders
wallpaper sheets. So you put that up, peel and stick.
Peel and stick, baby.
If you want to take it down, you take it down.
3M needs a way to use that command strip shit to make wallpaper.
Oh, no, that shit don't come off.
If you get the heavy duty, if you pull the little thing.
With the thing. I mean, like the heavy duty 3M strips.
No.
Because I have, my mom had gotten us last year, I think, or the year before, as a gift, a magnet spice rack. So like little spice containers, but they, you know, magnets on the back. And so it came with this metal sheet, basically.
Yeah.
To hold them to, because you could put them on your fridge, whatever, but we didn't. Yeah. So it came with like fucking 12 or 15 of the big fat 3M heavy duty tabs. So I put it up in our pantry again on the wall. And then, of course, you know, we end up moving.
Of course.
Back to Ohio. So I took that thing down, ripped half the fucking wall off with it. Well, I had to redo the fucking wall.
Of course, man. That's how life is.
It's like, if you didn't put that up, it ain't going anywhere.
Now, I want to say, before we get back, I think this movie's kind of like got three different parts to it. There's the part with the family at the beginning. There's the part where he gets to New York and settles. And then there's the part of everything happens after that with the wet bandits. And Kevin, and in the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this first part with the family, when he's with the family, I want to talk a little bit about...
Fuck Buzz.
Let's get it. Okay.
Fuck you, family. You suck. Once again, you are a horrible family.
My actual note, F this family. Instead of being angry at the two for humiliating him, they treat him with no respect. Fuck this whole family. He shouldn't apologize for a damn thing. And before even that happened... I was listening, and they gave him shit for wanting a fucking Christmas tree. Fuck them.
Fuck
like,
them.
What the? Fuck them, man. That's what I'm saying. I like it. I like Kevin's attitude when they're like, we're going to sleep upstairs again. Like, what's fucking new about that?
Shit.
Bull, I knew that was happening. Fuck you. He should have just put up double birds and just
another day, bitches.
Double birds, motherfucker. That's what should have happened. That's what should have happened in that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And does anyone else in that fucking family have an alarm clock?
Oh my God. Now this goes back to the first one. And I'm still, that's one of my generics for sure. First of all, yes, how did it happen this time? Oh, we unplugged the one fucking alarm clock that was plugged into the whole goddamn fucking house, the 17-bedroom house. One alarm clock is plugged in there. Did these also motherfuckers not learn their lesson from the previous year about checking? Check the alarm clocks, you dumb fucking tit knockers.
These are bad parents. That's why. These are bad fucking parents.
These are stupid. No, this is a stupid family in general. Nobody else had an alarm clock in that fucking house. You had 37 people sleeping there and nobody had an alarm clock.
No.
Nobody else thought, hey, I'll be a backup. How about that? Both of them, no kid had to wake up and pee in the morning or something.
Especially that little fucker who probably had to piss. Like, I mean, just the family in general. Fuck Frank. Just want to say that real quick.
Oh, Frank's a forever fuck.
Yeah. I mean, but my wife, we were sitting there and they do the thing where they say, well, he doesn't want me to go into the bathroom, right? And then they pan to him looking at the restroom and the fucking door is open.
Yeah, don't leave it open. Lock it.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you are so interested, close it and lock it. I mean,
and seriously, you're staying at your brother's house with all these people there and you feel like
that's the time to put on
a concert in the shower?
A dong out with the concert, door open. That's what he did. And I wonder what little Kevin saw when he got in there, though. I do wonder. Oh, man.
That's, again, not his
fault. There's some problems. That's the biggest thing about the beginning of this movie. I mean, they do play on the things, all the little jokes. You know, when he's actually in the van this time when I leave for the airport and he's there for his ticket. And they play on all that bullshit again. So, you know, we get all that. But those are the new things that to me, you know, just a new way to say I fuck you to this family is comes down to. But I do love when they do get to the airport.
But here's the thing, though. I know you'd hate rehashing all the stuff, but at the same time, that's what's great about it. Because we get a reason to get Kevin the fuck away from his family for a few days. He needs that.
Well, I will say that, yes, but the problem is later on in the movie, he then takes that introspective look like he's the fucking problem again.
But do you?
And that's my problem. Hey, there is no growth to where he goes, you know what?
I know, because then at the end, he's still apologizing.
That's why I just will not. Kevin, you did nothing wrong.
Look, you're better off with the bird lady. You're better off with Harry and Marv's fucking parents than what you've got.
At least they'll put you out of your misery and not torture you.
I don't know. I think if they teamed up.
Oh, they might actually steal something.
If they had him.
And you know what?
They could run New York for sure.
I'll give my generic. I was going to wait till the end because I thought, but it's obvious. My generic for this film is his family and that whole thing. So I'll just keep pounding that home the whole time because of how shitty they are.
They suck.
What I love, the airport thing is what I was going to get into because this is obviously pre 9/11. Security, because they're just running up to the gates and they're not checking manifest when they put him on the wrong plane.
Oh my gosh!
All that shit, like you're watching this and you're like, oh, I guess that is pre 9/11. I didn't know it was a comedy
of bullfuckery for sure.
It is a comedy of bullfuckery, but. But even then, so we were talking about how do you lose him? You said you saw him at the gate. You didn't see him at the gate.
Again, the one kid you should be keeping your eye on after last year's events, and you're not.
And trusting the guy checking all the people in? No, I would say no.
How about the fucking dad trusting his son to carry his bag for him with all of his traveler checks, money, credit cards,
traveler checks, cash. He didn't even have traveler checks. Like a dumbass. That's why back in the day you traveled with traveler's checks. So someone like that wouldn't go out and spend all your fucking money if you have all that
in your bag and you're letting your 10-year-old carry it.
Yes. Yeah. So he could get some batteries for his talk boy. Which is a badass fucking toy. Let's go there. But
oh yeah.
Get there. But what kind of parents, again, fly in first class? Because before, if you remember right, in the last movie, the vacation was paid for by his brother. So I always thought his brother sprung for first class for them, but not for the kids. I thought that's what it happened. But this time, they made the choice. They made the choice to separate themselves from the kids, which they wanted to keep track of. What kind of fucking parent does that? I just don't get it.
I'm not getting on a plane without my child sitting right beside me.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Especially not in pre-9/11 era where shit was loosey-goosey. You know, shit just didn't, you know, people could get on and off a lot easier. People could be meeting at the gate. You know what I mean? It was a little different era. We really didn't care as much about certain things that we do now.
Exactly.
That's fucking weird. Now, I will say
it's also a different time, though, because today you're not going to see that many dudes running around the airport with fucking camel color coats.
No. Camel? I thought you said camo, and I'm like, you camel. Okay.
No, you'll see more camo than camel.
Yeah, now you'll see more camo than camel, but the camel color coat. I like that. But yeah, well, how many absurd things had to go wrong for him to get on the wrong plane? That's the other thing. The believability of this movie is a little lower.
That's my dad right there. That's the back of his head. Okay, go ahead. Have Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Like, and I would like at least confirmation. Hey, Dad, I'm right here.
Yeah.
Can you turn around so this lady that's supposed to be doing her job can identify you?
Or how about this? You go on the plane and say, hey, I have a Kevin McAllister out here. Says one of you is his father. Could you just let me know if you're in here? No. Not a, didn't happen. And instead of being lazy, when he dropped his ticket in there, you could probably know how to look at those quickly as an airport employee.
You would think so.
And look at the codes fast and be like, wait a second, what's this one to Miami? Is that you, Kevin? Like,
the plane can wait for 2 minutes.
It does now.
Exactly.
I can tell you that.
Exactly.
We sat for 4 hours once. Oh my God. When we went on our cruise from Iceland, I mean, it was a fucking nightmare. They made us wait because a whole team of something missed their plane. And they were holding us because we were supposed to be in the slot where the plane was that they held for them. And so they backed up everybody because a high school team needed to get on a flight that they missed. They missed it. It wasn't that, you know.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, and we were just, oh, you don't understand. It was, we were livid. It was not good. It was not good. Wait, what was 3 hours on the tarmac? Pardon me, 3 hours.
That's fucking nuts.
That is fucking nuts. But Air Canada, we love you. Yeah, I said it. so I just want to say, but when he gets to New York, I just want to say one of the things that warmed my heart was when they do the little montage of him going places. The one place he goes to is that shot where the Statue of Liberty is in the background that's in all those fucking Liberty Mutual commercials.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to my mind was Liberty Bibbidi. Liberty Mutual.
Liberty who? I got to give a six pack too.
Go ahead. Give me a six pack.
Mr. McAllister, your very own cheese pizza.
Oh, yeah, that's a six-pack.
Like, that's the life right there. Your very own cheese pizza in a limo. Nice, fancy glass of Coca-Cola.
Watching the Grinch. That is a pretty...
That's a great one.
I think that every kid back then, that would be kind of a dream like that we would have had.
This is how you start your own vacation. He's got his own money. What am I going to do? I'm going to go to the toy store in a limo with the cheese pizza.
But before that, I have a six pack that happens before that because it's so prominent. It's the Twin Towers is my six pack. He went to the top of the Twin Towers. I could see why they probably, you know, a lot of movies cut them. You know, I think, but in this one, you couldn't. It was too featured too prominently as a thing that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of neat.
You know, another scene they could have cut.
What's that? Him. Oh, we all know. Yeah, when he first gets into the plaza.
His brief encounter at the plaza.
With that guy.
That guy.
But yeah, he did that. He did that.
With Voldemort.
Voldemort, yes.
Say his name.
Yeah, now when he gets to that hotel, why does Tim Curry's character have a hard-on for Kevin? Like, why is he so... Like, he's just a concierge. He doesn't even run the hotel. Concierges don't run the hotel.
Yeah, but he sees a little child by himself. That's radar.
But his radar wasn't, oh my God,
how can I help this kid who shouldn't be here? You know what I mean? Like that's the problem I have. His hard on is like he's up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that to me, I don't understand why people think that way right away. Oh, that's got to be a shitheel of a kid.
Because it's New York. You judge everybody poorly. Initially.
Is that my Midwestern? Like, I can't get out of my Midwestern head. It's like, you judge everyone poorly in New York.
New York,
fuck
you're
off.
A fucking asshole until you're not. In the city.
Well, I guess they knew you were an asshole, I guess.
Oh, they did.
They knew it. They knew it.
They still do.
Yeah. And the pigeon lady, I'm going to say when he ran into her, I'm not a fan of her.
You're not?
I find all the pigeons on her that just,
Oh, you're just not a fan of pigeon poop.
Yeah. Watch, give her a hug, Anthony. I'd like to see you do that. I'm surprised that's not your generic because of all the shit on her.
Nope. I'd give her a hug before I'd give you a hug.
And I don't have any shit on me.
Exactly. I'd dry hump her before I'd give you a hug.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, buddy. As long as the bird poop's still wet.
Now, I do want to say...
I just grossed myself out.
I do want to say that when he gets to his room, what kind of asshole or asshat, whatever you want to call him, waits for a kid to tip him, especially after being caught snooping through his shit? What kind of dude sits there and does this to a 10-year-old, like with his fingers, like acting like he wants a tip?
I'll tell you what kind. Rob Schneider.
Yeah, he does play a smarmy guy in most movies. That's true, but
I want to know how long he was chewing that piece of gum because fruit stripes flavor doesn't last that long. When he's like
literally after you
tip left over, you need a new piece at that point.
Fruit stripe, you put it in your mouth, take one chew, and it's done. you could not even let go of it.
That one chew is heaven.
It is a one chew of heaven, man. Do they still have it?
It is. They do. Yeah, but you know what's funny is the flavor runs out before the tattoo dries.
Oh, that's right. The tattoos, man. That's it. Everybody needs to go out and get some fruit stripe gum.
Do it.
Get some tattoos and see if you can chew the whole pack before the tattoo.
Maybe
we'll
have a contest where the winner gets some fruit stripe from us. How about that?
Yes. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I would love that. Now you said you like the pizza, right?
Oh, I love it. It's great. Kevin gets his cheese pizza.
To me, my six pack for this was his Sunday bar with a butler.
Make it three. I'm not driving.
Yeah. I mean, that right there was like priceless. To me, that is a kid on vacation.
That's you on vacation.
Well, I think the whole thing is.
Because that's picturing yourself in that hotel bed with someone serving you ice cream.
Other than pepper, I actually don't eat a lot of ice cream.
That is better than sex.
Other than pepperoni not being on that pizza, I mean, at that age, I probably would have loved every bit about everything, even down to this Sunday bar. Back then, I was much more keen on that Sunday bar than I probably would be now, but I like it. I think it looked good. I'd like to have someone serve it to me. That's great. Who wouldn't want to be sitting there and a dude asking how many scoops and putting the shit on your... What
if I eat that, the ice cream, that size sundae, I'm shitting the bed.
Are you saying you have some sort of lactose issue?
I am lactose delinquent, yes.
Oh, well, that's you. I mean, not me.
Like, I'm leaving fart stains on that sumbitch.
Really?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, man. You are awful.
I'm not awful. My bowels are.
Well, at least you're honest with yourself. At least you're honest.
Yeah. Got to know your body.
Yeah. The thing I want to... Now, a little scene in here that made me think of something was when Kevin looks out across the way, he sees that star.
Yeah.
And he says, "Good night, Mother." And she says, "Good night, Kevin." And it makes me think this, because I hate his family. Once again, it's my generic. Fuck his family and fuck his mother. While he loves her, she is just as bad as everyone else.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I think every time he does shit like that, it's kind of like Stockholming, but he wants his mother to be the person he envisions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this vision he has of what his mother should be and what he thinks she's being, but she's never that person to him. She always takes somebody else's word. She only cares about him when he's not there.
You don't see a nice moment between them until the end of both movies.
And even then, it's tainted with the fact that he has to apologize for shit he didn't do.
And the fact that they don't know Buzz is a cock knocker.
Yeah.
Come on. That makes them worse parents than all the other shit, is not knowing that your fucking oldest is a dick.
I told my wife, I said I'd have punched him in the dick and Frank in the face and walked out, like I said, two birds flaming going up the stairs.
I'd have kicked Frank in the Frank and punched them in the face.
Yeah, I get just whatever. Whatever I had to do to knock Buzz on his ass, I would have done it myself. But
well, he did knock Buzz on his ass at the concert.
Yeah, but I meant like when after he did that bullshit in the room, I would have like, you know, whatever, trout sniffer.
He pretty much did. Just like...
And what is a trout sniffer, by the way? I mean, how is it? I mean, it's a bad term, obviously, for them, but whatever.
It's a trout sniffer. You sniff the trout.
Fish
fucker would have been better.
Fish fucker. That'd keep it PG, man.
Beat that, fish fucker. Fish fucker.
Fish fucker.
Now, that is something in fifth grade I could have totally got on board with. Fish fucker.
Cock gobbler.
Salmon sucker.
Like, there's so many stupid names that probably were around then that could have been used, but they weren't PG.
Piranha poker.
But no, I'll just say his mother never is what he envisions her in his mind. And I feel that, I wonder how much therapy Kevin has had to go through, if this were real life for him. How much therapy did he go through?
I mean,
later on in life?
Here, is this like art imitating life? Because he didn't have a great home life with his parental situation as it is in real life.
Yeah, Macaulay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. He didn't have the... And he's had his issues because of that. I'm guessing he probably does go to therapy.
Well, it's funny. You think, like, because his parents, you know, fought over his money, all that shit, right? And there was all this stuff. And it's really funny. So he was, like, the breadwinner for the family. Pretty much that whole cast of Home Alone can thank all any residuals they still get.
Thank to him.
Macaulay Culkin for that, too.
That fucking family gets money because of him. Fuck him.
Exactly.
Fuck them. Still fuck them. See, even their actors, I just say, fuck them. I don't want to make money because of that.
Fuck you, Buzz.
Fuck Buzz. Fuck Buzz and fuck
you know, that'd be good. You know,
fuck
Mortal,
Buzz?
You know, Mortal Kombat.
Oh.
Buzz versus Scott Farkas. Scott Farkas.
Scott Farkas. That's good. Did you watch the new thing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Christmas
we'll talk
Story Christmas?
That. Yeah. Yeah,
I did.
So now the Kevin finally goes to the toy store in your limo that you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And he meets, and it's so fortuitous that he meets the owner.
Well, of course.
And doesn't know it and gets given a free gift and a little life lesson. It's like they replaced the old man in the first one with the pigeon lady and the store owner.
Yeah, I was going to say that earlier.
It's like two people replaced the one guy. That's what it feels like. I thought the first one, that relationship played off a little better, because I thought how they related in like him not liking his family and not wanting to be with them for Christmas, and the other guy not being able to be with his family and wishing that's the only thing he could do. Like how those two things came together to create a bond that, you know, helped the other one realize what they need to do.
Live your life.
Yeah. So that's that. So in this one, he meets the pigeon lady who, I guess, is crazy pigeon lady because men fucked her over.
Yeah.
Kind of her story. I mean, you know, and he just happens to run into the owner of a toy store who wants to give him turtle dove because he's a kid who buys something. I don't know. What made him special out of every kid that probably came up there and spent $20? I don't know.
Because he was conversationalist. The other kids just buy their shit and leave. Or whine to their parents about what they want.
That's true. Kevin is he's a con artist, I guess.
He's
totally
a con artist. Wow.
He is. He is a con artist. I think he's, you know, later on I was going to say, I think he's even maybe a psychopath or a killer.
Kevin?
He could be a killer if the things he did worked. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, those, yeah. They should be dead.
This is where we pick up with Marv.
This is where, in a court of law, Home Alone 2 gets him arrested. Home Alone 1, that's self-defense, and that's protecting your home.
Home Alone 2 is
dropping bricks from a building, that's assault.
And every weapon. He did break the window of the thing to save the people, but this one, yeah, he kind of, you know, he skirted that edge.
I think
you can't say it's self-defense because he baited them into it.
Right.
You know, he baited them there. And I'll have to say that the his mother, when, you know, that whole thing was going on, and he sets up all that shit in 3 hours, by the way.
Again. 9
p.m. Yeah. He realizes, yeah. Oh, they're going to rob, because, you know, he's with them, and they say the whole thing, we're going to rob him. And he's like, oh, shit, I get it. And he gets away by grabbing a girl's ass. I will say, that's the one gag that paid off from the beginning of the movie where dude had the sticky hand, and that girl, and then she smacks him, and then later on pinches the girl's, same girl's ass. That's kind of weird.
Right.
But that's a great thing.
Because walking around New York, of course, you're going to run into the same person too.
Yeah. Right. Right. The mother though, unless you know that people work at a certain place, I guess it's possible, but as random people go, yeah, it's hard for random people to see the same person every day. The mother, though, she dodged a bullet by not going into the brother's house. If you think about it, because there was a lot of shit.
Yeah.
That could have fucked her up if she'd have went in that place. So I'm just saying.
I got another generic I got to give.
Go ahead. Go with it.
That, what the fuck kind of renovations were they doing? Because that building looked like it should have been condemned.
That was a gut job. And they obviously have money for that big of a place in New York City.
But this is what I'm saying.
Manhattan. Like,
they obviously have money. So what was so wrong with their place before this? Because everything was stripped. Holes in the floor. What the fuck, dude?
That, you're right. Those big ass fucking holes in the floor. What's
like,
that?
Like, I mean, they obviously.
How do you replace the hardwood?
Let's be realistic here. Like, this is above and beyond reno. Okay.
Maybe they did go to replace the hardwood and there was some shit done structurally wrong, I guess.
Maybe they started taking down the wallpaper and found a lot of shit was covered up.
And when they pulled a piece, it was so strong.
When you got to that 86th layer of wallpaper and you found holes in the wall, there you go.
It's the wallpaper. That's what happens when you take down the wallpaper in an old house. The floor gives out.
Now we know. No reason not to wallpaper.
But no, in 3 hours, he plans that elaborate scheme, and it's crazy that he gets that done. And then his mother goes around the house, dodges the bullet. By at this point, though, obviously they know that he was using the credit card. I want to go back to that. I forgot about that. Do you think it was Tim Curry's fault, his character's fault, that dude got away after he got there? Because, you know, he found out he stole a credit card, chased him into the hotel. And then the kid runs and then makes his whole scheme up and does all that. But do you think it was his fault at that moment that the kid got away?
I think everything is the hotel's fault.
See, I don't think the hotel's fault at all.
I think the hotel, in real life, this happened. McAllisters are suing the living shit out of that hotel.
Yes, they are. But it was not his fault. It was the original lady who let him have a room there's fault.
Oh, it's her fault too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's her fault. Her fault there. The person on the phone, you don't fault them because, well, he sounded like a weirdo renting a room, you know, with that slow voice.
You got it. You're the father.
Yeah, it was bad. But you're right. I just didn't know whether. See, I didn't know how much they are to blame because, really, I told my wife, I said, honestly, you know who's to blame? They are when they didn't fucking make sure he was with them when they got on the plane.
Now,
that's the original blame goes back to the hotel could say, well,
everybody's to blame.
The hotel could be like, well, why is your kid alone in New York? And then they'll be, whoa, that's not the question here. What's incriminating us isn't the problem. You know,
it's you blame the parents, the whole fucking family. You blame the whole fucking airline. You blame the whole fucking hotel. You blame everybody.
Yes.
The only person that gets no blame in this is the toy store owner.
And Kevin.
Huh?
I don't think Kevin deserves much blame.
I'll blame Kevin too. Because when he gets off that plane and asks where they're at, then you just tell somebody, I was on the wrong plane. And guess what?
Then you're suing the airline.
Then you're done, though. Then someone with deeper pockets. Get a hold of your parents, find out what happened. That's all you had to do.
And then they sue the airline and get some money for Christmas.
I understand he has trust issues with adults probably after the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's why he didn't want to say anything.
I would have trust issues with that as well. And, you know, and as much as I hate his fucking family, and if they would have done that and sued the airline, his family would have got money, and they don't fucking deserve it.
But you know what? Actually, I guess now I'm thinking about it, it wasn't that, because once he realized I'm in New York by myself, I got my own vacation, I got away from these fuckers again. That's what he wanted.
So, yeah. It, you know, but he's a kid. He doesn't know what's best for him. So it's not his fault. You know what I mean? Like, you can't blame someone who doesn't understand, you know, as much what is best for himself. He's only reacting. He's not mature enough to make a better choice.
I don't know about that.
I will say that he's more mature than most 10-year-olds, but most aren't good enough to are mature enough to make certain decisions. And he reacted based on his feelings, not anything else.
I say Kevin is very much akin to Matthew Broderick in War Games. I know
very,
how to do stuff
smart.
To get what I want.
You're right. You're right. But let's get back to this. So he gets his gags planned. And I'm just going to say this is a kind of a lazy retread for me. The gags are okay. They're funny. You know, they're funny. But we're basically seeing the first movie again.
We are. I agree
That's
with that.
Pretty
but
much
I'm okay with
seeing.
That.
And you're okay with that?
I'm totally okay with that.
Okay. I just wondered, man, because, you know, it to me, it got a little more cartoony than the first one, even. Like, the first one was a little cartoony. This one, they just went over the top.
It's equally cartoony to me.
And now when he does the shocking thing and you see a skeleton.
Yeah.
That's very cartoony. Now, that's like over the top.
Harry Marv or fucking Tom and Jerry throughout this, or they're both Tom actually throughout this whole thing. Both movies.
Yeah. But you know why this one's a better movie? I can tell you why. Because when you think about them, you think of the wet bandits, not the sticky bandits. That's why this is not as good a movie.
I thought you just said why this is a better movie.
Oh, no, why this isn't a better movie, pardon me. Why this isn't a better movie than the first one is because if it were a better movie, people would have forgotten the wet bandits and remembered the sticky ones. They don't.
I remember
them. Wasn't good enough to make you forget the best one.
I remember them both. Wet, sticky. Wow. I like it all.
You like it all. Ugh. Do you wear cologne? Like kerosene? That's funny. That was a good gag, but once again, this is where I asked myself, is Kevin really, is he a killer? Could he be a killer? Could he kill people?
You know what? I don't know.
Enjoyment. Is he the guy, Cary Elwes, like you said?
I'm going to tell you, I don't know if he could kill anybody for the simple reason that he should have killed each of them about 26 times so far between both movies and they didn't die.
Well, yeah, maybe these are Michael Myers.
I don't know if he could kill people if he tried.
Maybe they're like Michael Myers, they're pure evil.
Like he couldn't even get one of them to have to call an ambulance.
Yeah. I was thinking he grows up maybe to be the guy who runs that thing where you said it stars Cary Elwes, that had Cary Elwes in it. Oh. What?
Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, yeah. Maybe he's Jigsaw. Maybe that's Kevin McAllister's Jigsaw.
Oh, man. Now that would be a great mashup movie.
Yeah.
You go into Kevin McAllister's house.
Yeah. Could you imagine if they made that? It would probably sell.
I want to play a game, you filthy animal.
Time to play a game, you filthy animal.
I love it.
Happy New Year.
That's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. But I think he is a killer. I think he could be a killer. I think if he doesn't put this in check, he could do this to other people and they will die.
Yeah.
They will die. They will. He's on his way. Just to say that it makes you wonder what it does to a person's psyche when you're able to inflict that type of violence and find that it was acceptable because you needed to do it. You know what I mean? And you thought of the weird ways to do it.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a mental thing there.
I took a blowtorch to their fucking head.
And I lit the rope on fire while they were climbing on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I electrocuted one.
Made one walk on a nail.
Yes. Shot one in the face with the staple gun.
Shot him in the dick too. In the ass.
And if that would have been an actual, like, remember Lethal Weapon? Where they had the nail gun in that one? Where he shot him and killed the guy with one of those real nail guns.
That's what they needed in the second one that they had in the first one, and not at the end of the first one. He's like, I got the milk, eggs, and fabric softener. And then this one should have been, I got him in the face, dick, and ass.
I got him in the face, the dick, and the ass. Yeah, that's true. This, yeah. The end of this movie, though, I just want to say, this family doesn't fucking deserve Kevin, though.
This family deserves themselves, and that's it.
Because fuck them, fuck Buzz, fuck them all.
This family doesn't deserve vacations either.
Yeah, they don't, because he apologizes at the end, like we said. Still apologizes for shit he didn't do.
Right.
Then, but here's the kicker. When they get all those presents from Duncan, the guy he met at the toy store, like he gives them the toys, somehow creepily gets into their room and puts them in there. But
exactly. And somehow knows how many people are there and how many presents to give.
Yeah. I'm
like,
with you.
This is pre-internet. Like, early on, like, how does he get this information this quick?
The police.
We're literally talking hours before they wake up at this point.
He called in some favors from the airline, told them who was flying, how old they were.
I'm going to ask another thing, too. If you're his parents, you guys get back to that hotel. Are you fucking sleeping that night?
Oh, hell no. But that isn't the worst part of all this, Anthony. That is not the worst part.
What's the worst part?
They start digging into those presents, and that family fucking forgets all about Kevin one more fucking time. Yep. While he gets
takes off, yes. Pissed. I literally was bitching about that too the other day. I'm like, how the fuck did they let him get out again?
So he leaves again for fucking Central Park to be with that crazy ass bird lady who probably smells like a pigeon turd to give her a turtle dove. Just saying. I mean, I get she gave him some good advice in the weird room where she listens to Ella Fitzgerald, but I do know that was weird. Like his family just fucking forgets about him as soon as they got a shiny thing in front of their face. Oh, fuck Kevin again. That's what it was. It's like, whatever.
Agreed.
He could have said to him, hey, I have a very special person I met in the park who feeds all the pigeons. I want to go down there and give them a special gift. He could have said something first, and then maybe a parent could have walked down with him while he did it.
That's not how Kevin rolls.
That's not how this fucking family rolls. Kevin rolls the way he does because he has shitty parents. That's what it is. If his parents would have put into him the fact that he needs to ask them, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing.
I got to give another six pack too.
Go ahead. I've got one too.
The room service bill.
That's a copy. Yes. The room service bill.
Love it.
Love that room service bill. That was a vacation.
I find it also funny that they didn't comp that. After all this shit.
After all that. I bet they eventually do.
You just gave the family the fucking Michael Jackson suite. Yeah. You're not going to comp the room service bill.
Yeah, I bet that suite is like 10 times what that bill is.
God, yes.
Yeah. And so I'm guessing that bill does get comp because I'm guessing they're using room service. That's from the room he had. Like the other room.
I did miss my other six pack too earlier.
Oh, go ahead.
I absolutely love the Grinch playing and the Tim Curry smile.
Oh, the symmetry.
The weird shot. That is classic.
It is pretty good symmetry. It's almost as if they made the Grinch after him, but we know it came before
him. I know. Similar looking. Creepy.
That is creepy. I am with you on that. I'm with you on that. But anyways, that's it. That's this movie in a nutshell for me.
Your drawer, sir.
Your drawers. Don't put those bad boys down. There might be ladies
around here. It could be girls on this floor.
Oh man, yeah.
And I still, even though it's a running gag, the whole movie bit, I love
what
playing the movie and faking them out.
Oh,
that's great.
Oh, the angels with even filthier wings.
Awesome.
Which is not a real movie. We went over that. If you listen to our. If you go back and listen to our Home Alone episode, we do a good conversation on that one, and we talk about that. But yeah, that was not a real movie. It's not a real thing. It's just made for this. So they remade another little vignette just for this.
I wish they would have finished it.
Yeah, and release it. That would be funny. Like, make it a 30-minute or 40-minute movie. It doesn't have to be, like, it could be just a short. I don't need a whole hour and a half.
Yeah, no. But
of that guy talking about people doing things and shooting everyone.
But I want to know about
Cliff.
Little Mo with the gimpy leg. Like, I want to find out what happened.
Oh, you want to know about Cliff? Which, you know, I do want to go back to that scene. There was one scene in this movie, and it happens to us every time. Every movie we do from this era, there's always one scene that has a slight gay panic vibe to it. And it was the one where Cliff. He does play the video and it says, "You've been smooching." And then when they say, "You've been smooching with Cliff," and everybody looks at Cliff and it's like, "Oh no, I wasn't doing that." That's like the one gay panic scene in this movie. Other than that, not a thing. And you wish you could get through one where you just don't notice that. Like, it's so, but that one was too obvious.
It was funny though.
It's fun. It was funny. I get, but it was a gay panic scene. Hysterically
funny, but it was funny.
Yeah, I get. I understand why it was funny. It was like, oh my gosh, yes. Oh my God. But anyways, that's this movie. What's your?
I want to know too. By the way, sorry.
Go ahead.
Was there liquor in the mini bar?
Oh, you saying it's Kevin getting blasted?
I don't think he did. Obviously not. But I'm saying, was there? Because that's another thing you could sue the hotel for.
If it was available to the kid?
You left open liquor in a room with a child.
Yeah, I would assume there was. I mean, there were a lot of cookies, obviously. And that's just as bad. What if he had the diabetes?
Exactly. Probably does after the vacations he's had.
He's been making it happen. So, your favorite time of the show, you know what it is.
Memorabilia. What are you taking?
You know what I'm taking. I'm taking the Turtle Doves. The Tall Boy.
You're going to take the Turtle Doves and give me one?
No, I will, but I do that anyways, bro.
Damn.
Actually, I'm not going to say. I'm going to find a brass pair of testicles and give you one. So that when we come together, we are a full nutsack. Anyways, the Talk Boy, man. I mean, that bit of technology somehow can make it sound like you're in the same room with whatever is happening that it recorded. It doesn't sound like it's recorded at all.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Oh, it was used in Scream, you're saying?
No, it was definitely the prehistoric version of the one used in Scream.
Yeah.
And then Scream 3, where the voice synthesis, it could do everybody's voice, which was all fucked up.
Yeah, so it was Talk Boy's my thing. What's yours? What do you want?
I want the Talk Boy too, but specifically because it is the Talk Boy used in the film.
Yeah.
I'd love to have a Talk Boy. That'd be awesome.
But you want the pink Talk Girl?
The one that is used in the film. Now.
Yeah, that would be nice.
I feel like when we pick the same one, you have to have a backup.
I have a backup.
Literally, there's only one you could get. So if one of us really got that, the other would have to have a backup.
I do have a backup. Okay. I do have a backup. My backup is the bag that had his dad's stuff in it. Said what, H. McAllister or whatever on it. I would like that. I would like the bag because if it had all with the shit in it, with the shit in it.
That was going to be my backup too.
Oh, fuck you.
No, we're good.
Okay.
We got backups. We each get one or the other. It's fine.
The pigeon lady's outfit.
The inflatable clown.
Yes, Bozo, the inflatable clown. Uncle Frank. I want Uncle Frank.
Why? Because you want to play Saw? You want to play Saw with him?
Yes, I want to do
He'd
something.
Be a great victim for a Saw movie.
He's an asshole. He's one of those assholes that you would love to see die. You know, I always say that we watch movies, and sometimes our sadistic side as humans comes out when we clap. When someone who shouldn't die dies, like I told you about that in San Andreas, where the big fucking shipping container falls on the lawyer.
Yep.
He didn't deserve to fucking die, but everybody clapped in the theater. He didn't deserve that. Fuck him.
What about
sadistic humans?
When Hans falls down.
No, that's real. That he deserved to die. He killed people. He was
there. You go.
He had done some shit that was.
Oh God, bad. That argument came up again last night with me and my wife.
What, the Christmas movie?
Die Hard's not a Christmas movie.
Well, it's centered around a Christmas party, so you're going to have
a Christmas movie.
And he says ho, ho, ho in it. It is a Christmas movie. It's just not, it subverts your expectations. That's all.
It's a Christmas movie if it is a Christmas movie to you.
Yes.
Now, there's a difference. That's what I said. There are movies about Christmas, and then there are Christmas movies.
Yes, that's true.
Different categories.
Or they're people. Just movies that have Christmas in them, but aren't Christmas at all.
Exactly.
Just
exactly.
Happens to go through the season.
That's what we were actually talking about, because we had just watched and finished a movie that was like about Christmas, but we were both like, this is not a Christmas movie.
It's not Die Hard.
That's that cool. New one, Noel Diary, I think it is. It's
with Freddie Prinze Jr.
No, not Freddie Prinze
Okay. Jr. No, I watched Noel Diary, though.
No, the guy.
I know I did.
This
where
is
the up. Where the daughter gets the, where they look for the, they look for
her mom.
Her mother. Yeah. I watched that. But we can talk about that in a minute. Anyways, let's get back to this. This movie, we need to do our reviews. Are you ready for this? Are you?
Justin Hartley, sorry. I had to remember his name. Justin Hartley.
Oh, because he's been in a bunch of.
This Is Us.
Yeah. That's what it is. That's the fucking show I couldn't think of because I don't fucking watch that shit show. Because
you're fucking stupid. It's not a shit show. You're a fucking shit show.
Whatever. It can't be good because it's going on too long.
Fish fucker. No, it's not. As they're ending it. Or they did.
Finally? Oh.
They only had, from the beginning, only were going to go so many seasons.
Well, good for them. I'm glad they're ending it. So are you ready to rate this thing up?
I'm going to rate you.
You go first.
Okay, I rate you a -5.
Thank you.
Out of 100. Obviously, my score will probably vary quite a bit from numbnuts over here, because I don't care if this is a rehash of the first movie. It gave me everything that the first one did, and I enjoy it just as much. I'm not going to rate it as high as I did the first one. Home Alone, the original, is one of the best Christmas movies ever. We all know this. I gave that a 20. This one I like very much as a sequel. I think this is a great sequel. I don't care if it's doing the same shit. I still like it. I have fun watching it, and I'm going to watch it again, bitches. I give it a 17.5.
Gosh, damn.
Watch that motherfucker every year.
Okay, I'll just say this. This movie is not terrible, right? I mean, it's enjoyable. It's fun to watch. The first one's better, though. It did all the shit that this does. But had a more original story, a little more believable, a little better. And like I said earlier, but the reason, go ahead, if you're gonna interrupt me.
I think the fun thing about this, though, is you keep bitching at it even more than you do the first one. Because it's like, how fucking stupid are you? How much stupid shit can you do over again? But that is actually part of the fun of it for me.
But yeah, now the first one's better. And I said it earlier, the reason why it's better is because we remember the wet bandits and not the sticky bandits. You know, that's. If this was so much better, it would have replaced the first one, the wet bandits part, and it would become the sticky bandits now. But no one wears a sticky bandit shirt. They wear wet bandit shirts. Anyways. No,
it starts off wet, and then it turns sticky.
That is disgusting. That is disgusting. I can
talk about bird poop, man.
Oh, I can see where someone might like this more, though, like Anthony or someone, you know, because it has the big city feel. It has some angles that maybe there are things that hit other people a little differently. I just don't feel that way. But because it's such a retread, I think it's enjoyable, and I watch it, and I had a little bit of fun, but I just think it's average, so I gave it 12 cans exactly. Average. Average movie.
Okay.
Gave me what I expected from that franchise, and that is it.
Yeah. See, for me personally, it's like, it's still up there with Christmas movies. So I think that's also how I'm looking at it. In like my top, you know, top shelf Christmas movies, both of them are up there. Anyway, right. That gives us a 14.75, which is identical to actually Toy Soldiers, which we both gave identical scores to. You gave it a 12, I gave it a 17.5.
Interesting. Okay.
That's fucking crazy.
What did we give the first Home Alone? How about that one?
We gave that, I believe, a 19. I think you gave it a 18. I gave it a 20.
Because it's a much better movie.
Where is it? Hang on. Wait.
You know, this is what happens when you task a person.
18 and 20.
Okay.
That's fuck you. Fuck
I was
you
about to give task. You shit.
Fuck you with your task, you fish fucker.
So, anything else that's near that's interesting other than being identical to Toy Soldiers?
Let's see here. Well, it's funny though, because Toy Soldiers is a very lame plot as well.
Yes, they both are very lame, and I guess I'm very consistent with lame plots.
About Necessary Roughness, 14.25.
I gave that higher, didn't I?
Half a point higher.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob Schneider made that one a half a point higher. But, Fumble Rooski!
Hello, we got Rob Schneider in both of them, dipshit.
No, but he made that one better. He didn't make this one better.
You don't think he added to it? I think he did.
No, the only thing he added to was an asshat asking a 10-year-old for a tip. Stupid.
I think Rob Schneider and Tim Curry added a good amount to this one.
That's why it's a 12. There you go.
Fuck you. Son-in-Law, 14.375.
I love that movie.
You loved it so much you gave it a 12.75.
It's better than this one.
But don't say you love a movie when you give it 12.75.
Hey, so I know what's good. I know what is good film and what is, you know, what I love cannot also always be good film.
She's all that 14 and a quarter.
Yeah, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. I can separate the two, unlike you.
I can separate the two.
Like, I can love something and know that it's shit made movie.
Hey, turtle fucker. I can separate the two because I have before. I told you I love Johnny B. Goode. I gave it a fucking 8.
Okay. We
don't tell me I can't separate stuff.
I forget what that score was, but it definitely wasn't this.
Stupid fucking hillbilly. Yeah, it was 8.5. You gave it a 9. I gave it an 8. The Bodyguard, again, which we just did a couple weeks ago, which I said I fucking love that fucking movie, but I only gave it a 12. So don't tell
because
me I can't
the chemistry
separate.
Was so bad.
It was so bad.
I mean, Kevin had more chemistry with the pigeon lady than he had with her.
He really did.
I expected there to be a hug at the end, and he didn't.
Oh, I think Kevin had more
sexual. He did hug her.
Kevin had more sexual chemistry with the toy store owner than Whitney Houston had with Kevin Costner.
That's awesome. All right, so that's it. That's it, right? Let me hit my thing here. Okay. Sorry, now you got me all flustered. We would like to thank you for listening. We also remind you to join our Patreon so you can get some of the bonus content and other fun stuff. Remember, you can go to sodapopcultureclub.com for all things related to the show, including your chance to make movie suggestions. And our episode schedule is there as well. We're also on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and we have a Twitch channel as well. And that's about it, because Anthony doesn't do
the
clues
preview.
Anymore.
We might
doesn't
do
clues.
Hey, guess what? I will tell you, we will start doing that again when we get our shit together and we stop having to fucking sub in episodes. When we get it going better,
yeah,
back on track. Maybe after the holidays, I don't know. But when we start getting our shit down again and I don't have some dumb fucking dick licker text me, I can't find this movie, we're going to have to do something else and shit like that, then I'll start doing previews.
I will say,
as it is, I still think we have some episodes that have already been released where I'm doing previews for shit that ain't the next fucking episode.
Whatever. I don't even know what you're talking about. Anyways, that's it.
You do. Yes, you do.
Fuck off.
Thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Be a fan. Don't be a fish fucker.